I am constantly amazed at how God works things together, and we don't even plan them. Thank you for your testimonies. It was last Sunday, I was standing right here in this spot, and I had just come back from about 10 days of being on vacation, and I was reconnecting with Pastor Mark after the 10 o'clock service, and he was standing right there, and he said, "Hey, Steve, how'd you like to preach next week?" Like, sure, that'd be great. So I whip out my little phone and I say, let's see what the text is for this next week. And so I read. Do you remember what the gospel text was? I start reading. And Jesus said, "I have come to bring fire on the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but division. And the families are fighting with each other." And he says, "You hypocrites, you can't even discern the times." I'm like, "Oh, thanks a lot, Mark. I see how it works. Let's let the new guy preach about the fire-breathing Jesus." I see that. But the truth is, one of the reasons that I'm so glad to be at Grace is because we as a congregation have chosen to submit to this thing called the lectionary, which prescribes what passages we preach on. Because the truth is, this wouldn't be a passage that I would want to preach on. But because of the discipline of submission, we're going to preach on it. And the fact that Minnesota Teen Challenge is here for this passage, that's the Spirit working. So tighten up your chin straps, we're going in. And we just got a couple minutes to do it. So the first thing we have to ask ourselves is, what is Jesus talking about here? He says two things in the passage. He says, first of all, "I haven't come to bring peace. I've come to bring fire and division." What? I thought Jesus was the Prince of Peace. And didn't he say he came to bring peace and grace and love? And I like talking about grace and love and forgiveness. The second thing he says is he calls the people, "You hypocrites. You can't even discern the time." So the first thing we have to do very quickly is figure out what's he talking about. And the only way we can do that is we got to look at context. We got to see what was really going on here and what is Jesus really saying. Well, we have to go back. Remember, we've been working through Luke for several weeks now. And back in Luke chapter 9, do you remember what Jesus did? He decided at that time that he set his face towards Jerusalem. He's marching towards Jerusalem, and every step he takes towards that city, he's bringing another piece of what the kingdom of God is all about. And here's the bottom line. I could spend an hour giving you all the historical context, and we don't have that luxury, so let me just tell you what Jesus is really saying here. Jesus is telling, he's speaking as a prophet, and he's actually quoting Micah chapter 7, one of the Old Testament prophets. Because this wasn't the first time the city of Jerusalem got themselves in trouble. See, the problem was that God called Israel, God called Jerusalem to be his priests for the nation, to be conduits of his love and grace, to bring hope to the world, and they kept getting distracted by their own junk. And in Micah, Micah said, "You know what you're like, Jerusalem? You guys are just fighting with each other. You've neglected the poor, you've neglected the needy, you've gotten caught up in politics, and you're just, parents are fighting with each other, families are divided." Jesus didn't say he came to divide families. He's quoting Micah and saying, "You're a wreck, Jerusalem, and you know what? I'm not going to fix that." The fire that Jesus was talking about was the Roman Empire. Within 30 years of this moment in Jesus' life, the Roman Empire was going to come in and completely destroy Jerusalem. Do you hear that? Gone. The fire was the consequences of Jerusalem's bad choices, which culminated in their destruction. Jesus, it says in the very next chapter, that Jesus lamented over this. It broke his heart. And then what he says is, "You know what really bugs me, Jerusalem? You can't even see it. You can't even see what's about to happen to you." You can't discern the time. So that's what it was talking about. It was all about, this isn't about the end of the world or the Mayan calendar in 2012. This is about the end of Jerusalem and the fire of God's truth coming on them. Now, at this point, we might be able to go, whew, this isn't about us. Let's just pray and move on with the service. And you're all hoping that's what I'm going to do. Wouldn't that be nice? But here's the truth. Here's what I think. There's a deeper truth about this message, and the truth is about fire. I'm going to talk about fire for just a second. Remember what John the Baptist said about Jesus and his ministry in Luke 3:16? John said, I baptize you with water, but one who is more powerful than I is coming. Talking about Jesus. And he said, I am not worthy to untie the thong of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. And Jesus, in this passage from this morning, said, I have a baptism of fire to endure myself. Being baptized by fire is really the message. And what does it mean to be baptized by something? You know, the Greek word baptizo, you know what it means? It means to be immersed in something to the point of being transformed by it. There's a Greek recipe that says put a cucumber, baptize it in vinegar, and it becomes a pickle. That's the meaning of baptism. To be baptized by fire, then. Fire, I was doing some research on this, and I found out something about fire. Fire does not consume things. Listen to this quote. It says, fire isn't matter at all. It is a visible, tangible side effect of matter changing form. Fire doesn't destroy. Fire transforms. And I think the Apostle Paul said it most clearly when he was talking to the church in Corinth. Listen to what he said. For no one can lay any foundation other than the one that has been laid. The foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, if anyone builds on the foundation with gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, straw, the work of each builder will become visible, for the day will disclose it, because it will be revealed with fire. And the fire will test what sort of work each has done. Now, check this out. The word test there, it's exactly the same word that Jesus uses to interpret the times, to discern the times. Fire is what discerns the time. It's what tests us. Here's the bottom line for this morning. And this is really the message of Teen Challenge. It's the message of our chapter. The fire that Jesus brings to the earth is the truth about the consequences of our choices. I tell you right now, listening to these testimonies, if a prophet were to come into the life of these great people, would it be hard for them to predict the outcome of someone who's caught in substance abuse? No. It ends in destruction. And every one of these people here, if they had a chance to tell their story, would tell you that they came to a crossroad in their life. See, here's the truth about the fire of God. God's fire, it's not about a list of do's and don'ts, and if you step out of line, God throws fire down to judge you and condemn you. The fire of God is the fire of the Holy Spirit's truth burning all the time. And every moment we have a choice. Do we resist God's fire and be destroyed by it? Or do we allow the Holy Spirit to burn in us and burn out the junk and transform us? That's the choice that everyone here has had to make. And the truth is, we're all addicts. We all have junk in our life. And Jesus comes to us today, and he comes to us every day, and he says, Can you discern the time? Are you going to continue on the path that is going to eat you alive and destroy you? Or are you going to allow the Holy Spirit to expose the stuff that is keeping you from knowing my full life today? See, the question we have to ask ourselves as a nation, as a church, and as individuals is God is working around us all the time. The fire of God's Spirit is moving around us. The question is, are we resisting it? Or are we going to let it purify us so that we can be a part of what God is doing today? So I thank you guys for being here and helping drive home this passage. Would you just stand with me as the choir comes forward and we continue worship?